Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. 50 years after a most historic mission, Apollo 8 astronauts and engineers relived the science and the stories that enabled the U.S. space program to reach the moon. The road was not without setbacks. In a new NOVA documentary, Apollo's Daring Mission, see and hear the inside story of Apollo 8, the first manned mission to the moon. It premieres Wednesday night, December 26th at 8 p.m. Central on SDPB-TV. Award-winning producer and writer Rushmore Denuer has produced several documentaries on space and exploration, including this year's Black Hole Apocalypse, and he joins us now by phone from Portland, Maine. Rush, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you, Laurie. It's good to be here.
So this NOVA special is one that I watched, and then as soon as I was done watching it, turned around and told anybody who would listen, like, the entire thing. I was like, and then this happened. So it's such a compelling story and so well told. But there was so much of it that I didn't know, and that surprised me. So let's put it in context for our listeners when we talk about the context of the Cold War and what's happening at this time in history. Set the scene, if you would, please.
Sure. And I would say it surprises me, too, how a lot of people just don't know this stuff. And the Apollo program is really a remarkable story. So this was, a post-World War II, very intense competition to basically dominate the world. And people on both sides saw it as there were a lot of countries sort of hanging in the balance. And would they choose to have a democracy or would they choose to go communist? And space became a battlefield in that Cold War in the 1950s and 1957 when the Soviets put up the first satellite. And they were ahead in space basically the whole time. So John Kennedy decided to send people to the moon as an attempt to find something that was so far ahead of what was then possible, so difficult, that it would give the United States time to catch up and we might be able to beat the Soviet Union, the Russians, with that goal. Anything less than that, they would probably be able to do it first.
How does the president pick that particular mission? He's got more than one idea.
Well, it's interesting. He's got advisors who are giving him options, and one of them, if you can believe it, was actually go to Mars,
right,
which even now NASA I think would tell you is extremely difficult. And they considered saying we'll go to the moon by the end of Kennedy's, what they thought might be his second term, by the end of 1967. So I'm not really sure what swung the debate, but I think they decided that the moon by the end of the decade was safe enough that they could probably accomplish it.
Mm. So this is less of a science mission and more of a military confrontation, but there's so much science that has to be done so quickly. Tell me a little bit about some of the pretty major, missteps. Lives are lost as this goal is sought.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they had to develop so many new technologies or just advance the state of the art in so many different technologies in order to do this. They needed, a truly massive rocket. It became the Saturn V. Still to this day, the largest, most powerful rocket that has ever flown successfully. They had to have a spaceship, something that could keep people alive for in a hostile environment where, there's no air, there's nothing to breathe. The temperature's, 250 degrees below zero in the darkness. And then when you're in the sun, it's 250 degrees above. And it has to be able to go very, very fast. And it has to be able to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere and not burn up. So you need the rocket, you need the spacecraft, and you need a way to get there. The moon is moving, and the Earth is turning, and the Earth is moving. It's a very complicated physics problem. It's not like, flying from New York to Los Angeles. New York and Los Angeles are not moving with respect to each other. So they had to navigate, and they ended up developing a really remarkable, tiny, for the day, computer that we talk about a lot in the show and how that has influenced our computers now that we use.
I love this this entire part about the computer from the keypad, that because there's no touch screens, there's no mouse, there's none of this has been invented yet, and there has to be sort of a way for the astronauts to communicate with the computer. But walk us through that a little bit, because there's a lot happening here, not only with the technology, but with the very human idea of who should be in charge. The computer is making decisions, or the people are making decisions, and this is the first time that humans are really sort of wrestling with this very large issue.
Absolutely. The background of the astronauts was they were military test pilots.
Yeah.
And their idea was, we want to be in control of this thing. I mean, when they were first thinking about this, they probably thought they would be able to fly the rocket off the launch pad. And it quickly became obvious that there was just too much happening, way too quickly, for a human to be able to handle this. I mean, a jet plane travels fast, but the spacecraft at times is going 7 miles per second, and you just can't react quickly enough to pilot it the way you would pilot an airplane. So they ended up, they had to use a computer, and they did massive calculations on the ground with giant mainframe computers that took up, half of a building. But they also had a small, the Apollo guidance computer that would execute all their maneuvers in space. And there was some culture clash. I mean, it's kind of like the story Tom Wolfe told in The Right Stuff. You know, the pilots were like, no, we want to be in charge. And they kind of gradually evolved into the system that they used, mostly because even the pilots had to admit it just would not be possible for them to handle it all by themselves.
Yeah. I want to play a little clip from the show, because there's something I want to talk with you about, is this notion of finding these engineers and astronauts really 50 years after they have done this really epic thing. And they're reflecting at this point on who they were and what they were doing, what they knew and what they didn't know. And this is Michael Collins, who is the person when the astronauts he's communicating with Apollo 8 when they finally do this thing called translunar injection, which is sending Apollo 8 out of the orbit of the Earth and towards the moon. And here's how he reflects on that moment 50 years later.
In this moment, Michael Collins has the honor of announcing a turning point in human history.
I said to them, Apollo 8, you're go for TLI.
You are go for TLI, over.
And Borman said, Roger, Houston.
Roger, Houston, we're go for TLI.
That was it. I just really wish I had that moment to live over again, because I would have said to them, Apollo 8, you can now slip the surly bonds of Earth and dance the sky, Apollo 8, dance the sky, you go, is what I would have said to them instead of, you're cleared for TLI.
I just love this moment and some of the stories that the astronauts are telling about, missteps and mistakes and tragedies. And there's such a human component to this NOVA that's really remarkable.
Absolutely. And it's Michael Collins, just prior to that moment that you just played, says, I love NASA, but they have an ability sometimes to turn sublime things into the mundane, with their vocabulary and the way they kind of minimize some of the emotion. They don't want us to realize sometimes that this was really dangerous and the astronauts could get scared. They tried to sort of keep that all under wraps. But, 50 years later, these guys are great. They laugh about it. They remember tense moments, and there were a lot of those.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the moment that the communications by design has to stop, and what kind of conversations are the astronauts having in the cockpit when suddenly it's just them floating around to the other side. Floating's not the right word, but traveling around to the other side of the moon.
Well, it's a very... it's a very dramatic and a very tense thing, because they're going to orbit the moon. So when they swing around the back of the moon, they can't talk to the Earth, and the Earth can't talk to them. They're completely on their own. The radio signals can't get through until they come around again on the other side. So there's one kind of reaction on Earth where the mission control people, you know, they're very tense, they're very worried, but what can they do? So they have a bathroom break. Meanwhile, up in space, it's a completely different situation. They're wondering if they're in the right place at the right time. You know, all these calculations have been done. And one of the ways they know, one of the ways they find out is the exact second that they lose the radio contact is supposed to be an indicator of, are they in the right place at the right time? Is the speed right? All the maneuvers right? You know, because if it wasn't, they could crash into the moon, or they could miss the moon and fly out into deep space. So the communications cut off as it happened at precisely the right second, to the second. And they were blown away, really, by all the calculations that the people on Earth had done. But there's a wonderful moment in the film where Frank Borman, the commander, says, oh, that's great. They cut off at just the right second. We must be right on time. And then Bill Anders says, you know, Frank, they're our friends down there. They're going to pull the plug no matter how off we are, really.
I love that.
And that kind of laughter. They really are, the three personalities, the three astronauts are really, really wonderful guys.
Yeah. And who is it that captures the picture as well? Because one of the legacies of this, there's lots of scientific legacy, but there's also this legacy, this artistic moment where a photo of Earth is taken.
Absolutely, Lori. And yet, you know, that's yet again, that's something that nobody expected. They were so intent on accomplishing all the technical goals. And one of those goals was, this is the first time we're getting really close to the moon. They were 60 miles altitude. And so one of the important goals of the mission was to take as many photographs as they could of possible landing sites, because they didn't know how deep was the dust, you know, how big were the boulders. They wanted to pick a nice, flat, relatively safe place to land. And you have to remember, this is only 6 months before Apollo 11 and the first moon landing.
Yeah.
So Bill Anders was assigned to take, you know, they all had cameras, but his job was really to photograph the moon. And they're all photographing the moon as they're orbiting. And then they swing around, and all of a sudden, almost at the same instant, they all saw the Earth hanging in space. And no one had thought to say, let's take a picture of the Earth. No one really had figured, well, will we be able to see it, and does it matter? You know, what will it look like? No one gave it any thought. But these three guys, and they were not poets. You know, they were technical engineering-type people, and they were all blown away by the sight of the Earth hanging there in space. And, of course, the photo doesn't even show it, because they could see, you know, the entire sky was jet black, no color. And there is this big, beautiful, you know, blue marble, they call it. So, yeah, they all grabbed cameras, and Bill Anders, who was doing the most photography, snapped a bunch of pictures. He wasn't sure what the exposure was, and so he took several. And the one that became known as Earthrise came out. And, you know, one of the mission controllers in the film says this was probably the most significant photograph of the 20th century.
Yeah, the first time humans really got to see, hey, this is, this is, there's so much in this moment. And even at the Christmas Eve broadcast, where they try to decide, what are we going to say to the world in this broadcast? And they're just told, say something appropriate. And what the heck is that for these three guys? And they end up reading from the book of Genesis. Monumental human moments here are captured in this piece. Really well done. The show is Apollo's Daring Mission. It's a new NOVA documentary. You do not want to miss it. You can see the premiere on Wednesday night, December 26th at 8 p.m. Central on SDPB TV. And my guest has been Rushmore Denewer. He is the producer. Thank you so much, Rush. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Lori.